Welcome to Raw Health Rebel Podcast with me, Serge Drabak. In this episode, I chat to the amazing Poppy Altman and Nafia Reggiano about family constellations. I went on a family constellation workshop that was run by these amazing ladies a few weeks ago with my friend and colleague, Monique, who co-hosts this episode with me. And it was one of the most profound healing experiences I've ever had. I went along as a skeptic with an open mind, as did my friend Monique. Went along really not knowing what to expect, but not expecting that much, to be honest. And I was blown away. You all know how much I love homeopathy, but I would say this was next level. And I came away thinking, I've got to do a podcast on this so I can share more about this absolutely amazing healing modality that's out there that very few people have heard of. So here we are. Listen in and make sure you check out the show notes below where you can find out about Nafia and Poppy's workshops, which are coming up. There's really no excuse not to get booked on one because they are absolutely amazing. So yeah, listen in and let me know what you think.
Thank you everyone for coming on today. So this is an exciting episode because I was actually sharing on my Instagram stories as soon as I got out of this family constellation workshop, and I was just like, what was that? It was the most amazing thing I think I've ever done. I had like an aha moment like I did when I discovered homeopathy, but this was kind of almost next level, dare I say that, as a homeopath. So I thought I must record a podcast getting the amazing Poppy and Nafia who ran the workshop. And then I also thought, why not get my friend and colleague Monique to co-host, who you may have heard a few episodes ago interviewing the amazing Dion Tabrett, because Monique happened to text me on a Friday evening and I actually said, what are you doing tomorrow? I'm just randomly going on this family constellation workshop. So at 10:30 in the evening, Monique just booked on, knowing nothing about it. And yeah, Monique, before we kick off, would you just like to share briefly what your experience of that day was?
So for me, I knew nothing about family constellations, but I thought, if you're doing it, why not? What have I got to lose? It's one day out. I was quite skeptical at the beginning, and especially once people started to engage me in the actual process, I was thinking, you've picked the wrong person here, it's not going to work with me. And I was absolutely blown away by the experience. I'm not a particularly touchy-feely person. I'm not particularly outwardly emotional. And I was really quite surprised about what part I ended up playing in terms of how I actually participated. So yeah, it was a really extraordinary experience for me, and it opened my eyes to something that I just didn't think was possible.
Monique, I love that. Yeah, I came away feeling we know nothing about the world we live in. You know, never have I felt such sort of raw, primal healing in a room. So yeah, let's kick off with Poppy and Nafia and asking, I want to kick off by asking, you know, what actually is it? Because some people listening are still like, what on earth is this? And then I want to ask you both how you got into it. Maybe Poppy, we start, could you explain what it is?
Okay. This is funny because when we do the training with Barbara Morgan, she makes us do this, say what family constellations is in 20 seconds or something, and it's a really difficult thing to actually describe. But what I usually say to people who have no experience is it's a kind of group work that looks at inherited trauma and unconscious hidden family dynamics. Yeah. And you use people in the group to represent issues and members of your family in order to see things that you are not conscious of.
Yeah, well, that certainly happened in that workshop. And Nafia, what do you think? Anything else to add in that? It's hard to explain, isn't it? Because I remember asking you, you've been telling me for years to come on, or suggesting, you would never tell, that I come on a family constellation workshop. And I was questioning you and you said it's like magic, which it really is. Is there anything else you want to add to that amazing?
Yeah, I mean, one can spend, you know, quite a lot of time trying to find analogies that explains it really well. Barbara Morgan, who we trained with, she uses a beautiful analogy of a river flowing. So she says there's a river of love flowing through a family system. But sometimes there are boulders in the river that blocks the flow of love and well-being, you know, coming down from the ancestors to us. And family constellations is a way that one can maybe move one or two of these boulders out of the river, or one could maybe just nudge them a bit to the side so that more love can flow, or even sometimes one can't change something. So, you know, there may be that somebody has been adopted, for example. One can never change that. But just sort of looking at seeing the boulder in the river can sometimes change the consciousness of the people in the system. And so that can just a lot rebalance the energy in the system to little bit by little bit, so that people can thrive more and feel more love coming towards them down the river of the ancestors.
And can you explain a bit more about how was this invented or discovered? You know, where was it discovered? You both referred to Barbara, who you trained with. How far does it go back?
So the father of family constellations is Bert Hellinger, who was born in Germany in 1925. And he grew up in Nazi Germany and ended up being conscripted and saw active service, but finished the war in a prisoner of war camp in Belgium. And then he became a Roman Catholic priest. He was from a very religious family background. And as a priest, he went to South Africa as a missionary. And he lived with the Zulu people for, we're not entirely sure, but something like between 16 and 25 years. And he was very much immersed in their culture, which is where we think he brought the ancestral work from. Eventually, he got sick of the dogma of the Catholic Church and he left the church and went back to Germany. And he was kind of ready to retire, but he ended up getting into different kinds of group therapy, like Scream, I think, and transactional analysis and group work. And he started gradually working with some other people to create this family constellations. And Hunter Bowman was one of the main people, and Günther Weber, who he worked with. And Hunter Bowman co-wrote or translated a book that he wrote called Love's Hidden Symmetry. But he really was very resistant to any kind of dogma being attached to family constellations. So it's sort of been left very open for people, for sort of future generations of people to take the work forward. And there are books, but a lot of the books are just sort of descriptions of the, almost like scripts of the constellations. Love's Hidden Symmetry does go more into the philosophy of the work. And there are many, many ways now that people practice constellations with horses, with individuals, in groups. But it's got a strong sort of influence from Gestalt therapy and from the Zulu religion or culture as well.
So what is a constellation? People that are thinking, what even is a constellation? Can you explain what that actually is? I remember you explaining at the beginning of the workshop that people can be in your constellation that you wouldn't necessarily expect to be there.
So typically in the group context, there would be a client. So somebody would come forward with their issue that they want to look at. And the client would sit next to the facilitator. The facilitator would talk to the client a little bit. And because constellations are above all an embodied practice, the facilitator would sort of not talk too much about it, because as a sort of very simplified way of saying it, if we think about the left brain and the right brain, where the left brain is the very logical part and the right brain is the more feeling part, the facilitator would try to manage the interaction to get the client out of the rational part, because that's not where we access this knowledge into the feeling part of their right brain. And the facilitator would then gently guide the client to choose representatives from the audience, from the holding circle, the people in the group, to represent key issues or people in the family system. As you know, as a result of this introductory conversation that they're having. And then the client would be asked to set these people up, so to move them in position relative to each other. And then representatives are encouraged to completely leave their thoughts to one side and just really become aware of their embodied response, and then move and react accordingly. So somebody might want to steer far away from somebody else in the room. Somebody might be overcome by some emotion like sadness or rage or anything else. And as this process unfolds, the facilitator and the client will interact to unearth any information that might come forward.
Thea, can I ask you, having participated in that, do you have a view of what is going on? Because I was phenomenally surprised to be in one of those positions and to have emotions that didn't feel like they were mine.
Yeah.
Have you got any explanation of what's going on for those people in those roles?
Yes, it is. When people are together in this context and with the intent of doing healing work around each other's family systems, a very, very strong field is created. And it is this, it's also known as the knowing field. And this knowing field, and, you know, so this is kind of related to quantum physics and many branches of science these days are starting to explore these unknowns. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy called Rupert Sheldrake.
Mm. Yes,
and
yeah.
So, for example, his work and Lynn McTaggart's work and people like that, that sort of goes towards starting to explain what a field is and how this knowing field can bring us information that there is no other way that we could possibly know it. So it's a mystery, but it's also a very, very powerful tool or a mind-blowing experience, as you guys have.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm not someone who's so in tune normally with that kind of thing. And I was really surprised by that experience. And I think there's a lot of people out there who maybe would think, oh my God, that's all out there. I'm not that kind of person. So to have actually been able to stand in that room and experience that, that was really eye-opening to me. And I would say to other people, just, you know, don't be skeptical about something until you've tried it, because that just, it was something I've never experienced before.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thing is that being a representative is the easiest thing in the whole world, because you completely put your rational thinking mind at rest and you just stand there and open yourself up to what the field brings to you. And that's all you need to do. And that knowledge comes through you.
Who
can say how?
One of you guys, I think, said on the day that it's used, was it in the Dutch family courts?
In the Brazilian courts, yeah, in the family courts, yeah, and in lots of other institutions.
So, I mean, really shows you the credibility of what it can achieve.
Yeah, because, I mean, the knowing field is not just a woo thing. It is also a sort of, it is grounded in like our day-to-day experiences. There are lots of examples of it in the natural world. So like starlings is one example that we often refer to when the starlings come home to roost in the winter and they do the murmuration. So they're all moving in the sky together as one big swarm. And that also happens with like sardines and fish, you know, shoals of fish in the sea where they all can move and they know how to move as one body, how do they know to move as one body? They're not talking to each other or saying, hey, let's go this way. I mean, maybe they are. Maybe we just don't know that. But it seems like when there's millions and millions of birds, which we've seen, Nafir and I have seen in Somerset, for example, that, you know, they are, there's a bigger force that they're moving in tune with. And that's the morphogenetic field that Sheldrake talks about. But it's also on a more mundane level. The four of us are now in a field, and it's just sort of having that ability to step back and look and see, what is this field that we are sitting in now? Is this a field of family constellations? Is this a field of homeopathy? Is this a field of podcasts, health podcasts? Mm-hmm. You know, what are those aspects that are uniting us? And, you know, that's something that happens in a field of two people as well. The power that comes with that, with using the field in constellations, is also having that ability to have a perception, which is what the constellation itself gives you, of what's really going on.
It was like what Monique said. I mean, I was skeptical, and I, you know, healthy skepticism, but I was a participant and I had my constellation done as well. And when I was a participant, I just felt feelings that were not my own at all. But then I kind of had it validated as well, because when I was watching my family play out, people were saying stuff that only I knew, like that definitely made it my family playing out. It was freaky. You know, it was just such a bizarre, mysterious thing that happened.
Yeah, you do get weird like sensations as a representative. Like once I was representing someone's mother, and I had this terrible, like suddenly this terrible headache, like awful, awful headache. I was curled up on the floor in a ball saying, I've got this terrible, terrible headache. And then the client said, yeah, my mother had a brain hemorrhage. It's like, my God, how did I know that? How did my body know that? Those kind of things, you know.
Is there anything you can do for anyone that sounds like that might be listening that thinks, oh, that sounds a bit scary? Like, presumably that was very short-lived, you know, can you take on this energy afterwards, or does it stop as soon as the constellation stops?
Usually the constellation stops and that's the end of it. If there's anything left over, it depends on your school of thought, really. So Nafir and I trained with Barbara Morgan, as she said, and what she would say, and what I would also say, is that if you are left with something, not necessarily, I mean, I haven't ever been left with an excruciating physical symptom like that. In fact, usually I physically feel amazing after being a representative, and that's why I love doing it. But if you're left with something emotional or psychological, it's probably information for you about your own healing process. So do you want to get rid of it, or do you want to explore it? And if you want to get rid of it and not go further with the exploration, there are ways, there are techniques that you can use to hand it back, as it were, to the issue holder. But, you know, we're all there in that field for a reason, and you're asked to represent that member of the family for a reason. And usually we find that it's something that's resonating in your own system, and therefore it's an opportunity to heal. And it's the great advantage of going to a workshop and not necessarily doing your own constellation, because you still get the benefit, the healing benefit of the work.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, actually. It was something I was going to ask later, but actually, as it's come up now, let's just maybe elaborate a little bit. Because when I posted on Instagram about having been on this constellation, I had people message me asking questions. And like I actually asked you, Poppy, you know, when I was thinking to book on, will I definitely get to have my constellation done? Because in my head, I thought, well, if I am only a participant, I won't get any, not that sounds awful, I won't get anything out of it. I don't mean it like that. But you know what I mean? I just thought, will you get anything out of it? I think that's more the question. So can you perhaps both, and actually Monique's experience as well, but can you perhaps all share your experiences on actually how being a participant, you come away with a lot of still if you don't get to have your constellation done? Maybe start with you, Poppy, give your view on that.
Okay, yeah. So how can you say again?
Do people, I guess, if people are thinking, right, I want to book on a workshop, but actually, you know, I really want to have my constellation done, but there's 20 odd people on the workshop and, you know, I might not get round to having my my done. Will I still get something out of this workshop if I'm only a participant?
Yeah. I mean, so I suppose, you know, like what I said to you was, you know, and what we've already discussed a little bit was that we're creating a field and we're all part of that field. And there's no reason why, you know, the reason that you're on that workshop is because you're with these people for a particular reason. There'll be something in their family system that resonates with your family system. And therefore, even just sitting in the circle on the side, you may be seeing things from a different perspective that you wouldn't have considered before. Or as a representative, say, for example, you've got an issue with your brother or something, but and you might want to look at that constellation, but you might be a little bit nervous to go up as an issue holder if it's your first workshop, for example, and you don't know, you know, how it works. But someone might choose you to represent someone's sister who, you know, who has a problem with their brother or an issue with their brother. And then you might get a perspective from their point, you know, from that point of view. As a representative, you might get a different perspective on the issue, which will then help you to see things slightly differently in your own family system. And, you know, I know that Nafia will tell you, you know, we've had some very profound experiences just in the holding circle, because again, you're part of this field. So even though you're not actively involved and actively representing or being an issue holder, you can experience things in the holding circle.
Yeah, it's short. And Nafia, do you want to share any insights onto this as well?
Yes, this example that Poppy just referred to, I would say the constellation, you know, over the years, Poppy and I have seen hundreds of constellations and been in hundreds of constellations. But the single one that probably had the most profound impact on me personally was not my constellation. I wasn't the client and I wasn't even chosen as a representative. I was simply sitting in the holding circle. And what was in there in the field was so, it had such a profound impact on me. And, you know, I literally cried for days afterwards. And it went to, you know, some very, very deep wounds in my own family system. And it led to great healing inside me to, you know, let that whole energetic experience go through me. I was completely blown away that just by being in the circle, I could experience such deep, deep healing.
Well, you know, you're talking about the roles, etc. It was really interesting. So I was involved in two of the constellations out of the three. Well, I almost actively tried to avoid being involved in one of them. And I really tried not to engage with one of them. And I was reasonably well left out. And I don't know why, I just didn't feel there was something there for me. And the other two put me in the role of mother. And I'm child-free. So I thought that was really interesting. And I've got a very matriarchal family. And I did think that was really something that just didn't seem to be a coincidence. I don't know. That just felt a bit strange for me. So yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, and I know when I felt both being in the, and actually I was similar to you, just in a sort of more in the holding circle. Is that the right terminology I'm using here? Yeah. Once actually as an active participant, and then obviously I had my constellation done. But when it was my constellation done, one of the active representatives came and said to me after, "You have no idea how healing that was," just as much as having her own constellation done. And yeah, it was just amazing. I want to ask one more thing. I really want to hear about how you got into it, but I just must ask this as well, because this is perhaps a triggering point for me. I hate group work. Hate it. Like, I don't know why. I'm just so normally reserved. I don't share publicly. I've always been told, you know, we don't air our dirty laundry in public. We don't overshare. Very nature of you. And so I cannot believe I went on one of these. And so, you know, in that circle shared basically everything that's, you know, it happened in my family unit. And what For anyone that might, Nafia, I did ask you years ago about when you said it about the constellation. I was like, oh, group work, I think was my initial like reaction. What can you say about group work to perhaps allay anyone's fears or anxiety that might come up when you hear that word group work?
Yeah. Yes, I very often experience how people are very reticent to come to Family Constellations work for this reason, because it can feel very exposing or you know, in advance before. What typically happens in Family Constellations workshops is that there is a very quickly, there is quite a heart opening happens to people, so that there's just a great deal of compassion is generated when we see each other's trauma. And Family Constellations really show us what lies underneath that human being, seeing that person in the context of their family system and the huge traumas that most family systems hold, maybe in their generation, the previous generation, or even two or three generations back, with the world wars and all the fallout of those. And, you know, the list goes on and on of the things that impacted us. And so very, very quickly in a workshop, all those fears about exposing oneself just seem to melt away, because we are human beings there and we all have pain and we all have trauma.
Yeah, I just was thinking about that, because I think for me, like I did over the years, you know, I have done obviously homeopathy and stuff, but I had individual therapy, couples therapy, and it was only when I got to the group work that the deep work really happened. And the first thing I think probably to say to you, Ben, Lisa, is, you know, well done for taking the step, because it takes courage. And courage is, you know, the word courage is like from the heart. So you opened your heart to this possibility, and, you know, the healing is really profound if you can be courageous enough. And then the reassuring side of that is, you know, that everything that happens in the workshop stays in the workshop. You know, any decent facilitator will be very strict about confidentiality. And so, you know, we have to create a safe holding space for the work to happen, because, you know, those boundaries are really needed for people to be courageous enough to come forward. And it's fine not to. It's fine to just come and sit and see what happens and not put your hand up. And, you know, and decide, you know, that we have people who come for years who don't put their hand up. They will one day, I'm sure.
Do you know what? It's funny, because I put my hand up for the first straight away and then I didn't get picked. And then I went to lunch with Monique and I was like, thank God I didn't get picked. Like, Jesus, because I hadn't been to one. And then I didn't put my hand up for the second one, and then I did put my hand up for the third one. So thank you. But you created, both of you, such a safe space. And actually, Nafia, what you were saying as well, it was making me feel quite teary, because I think it makes you realise how empathetic actually most humans, certainly everyone in that space, was. And you hear such doom and gloom and misery on the news. You know, when you look out, just turn on media, it makes you forget actually just the average person. There's so much emotion behind what we experience, and it just, yeah, you see that come out. It's the most profound experience, definitely.
One of the things I found quite interesting was the fact that there weren't many English people in that room, or at least 50% weren't English. And I do sometimes wonder, you know, we've got this English stiff upper lip. And even of the English that were in that room, three of us were homeopaths, you know, apart from the facilitators. And we've probably sort of lost some of the stiff upper lip because of what we have to do to train as a homeopath. But I do wonder, I mean, maybe, Poppy, from your experience, do you find that you have fewer English people coming onto these? Do you get that barrier of the stiff upper lip, do you think?
It's a really interesting question, yeah. Because I think I get a lot of Central and Eastern Europeans, and that's to do with my own family history, because my dad was a Hungarian Jew. And so I get boundless amounts of Czech Republicans and Slovakians. And I mean, I think at that workshop, We only had one Czech, which was really unusual. But Lisa, what's your background? Serbian.
Mm.
Yeah. So you were there. You know, you brought your half. Is it half? Yeah.
Half. Yeah. My dad's Serbian.
I brought my half. So I often get Europeans from Central and Eastern Europe. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many. Maybe it's also because I'm in London. It's more of a multicultural place than, you know, Sussex, where Nafia tends to run her workshops. Yeah.
Nafia, what's your perception of the British stiff upper lip? I mean, you yourself, you're South African, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
I am. Yes. If this were, you know, conventional group work, maybe the British stiff upper lip might be a barrier to the work. I don't know. I'm not somebody who's drawn to, you know, women's groups, and I don't really do group work myself, other than constellations, which for me is quite different because all that stuff just falls away because we all just respond to the field. And when one is in the field and you are willing to say, okay, I am now going to represent the client's grandmother or, you know, brother or whatever. And then, you know, the stiff upper lip is not even an issue at all, because all I need to do is to feel the embodied response to what that comes to me automatically once I enter the field. And then the magic happens.
I suppose there is a little bit of education involved in our workshops where, you know, we always start with a blind representation where someone has to set up, you know, in pairs, you set up, we did it at the workshop, I think, that you came to. So you just set up a small issue and you don't tell the other person what they're representing, and then they feedback to you. So it gives people confidence that they don't have to be exposed to things, you know, if they're very reserved, they don't have to be exposed to things that would embarrass them or shame them. And you do, as a facilitator, have to be really careful around shame, because it's easy to shame people. You don't know what shame is, a hidden aspect of people, so you don't know what their shame is, you know. And you have to be really attuned. We are taught, Nafia and I learnt how to really attune to the person who's sitting next to us, to read the tiniest little body language aspects, and also just to feel with our own body, use our own body as a sort of barometer of what's going on with you. So if we start to feel a bit of shame or embarrassment, that's probably we're picking up on what's going on for them.
Well, that's good to know, because that then gives people a bit more, people who might be wanting to go on it, who are thinking, oh, you know, not sure that's for me, the confidence that actually, I mean, as my experience, so I didn't engage, I was never the client per se in the workshop that we did. I mean, before I turned up, I knew nothing about constellation. I mean, literally nothing. So I really just went in blind. And when you started talking, I thought, oh my God, what have I just committed to?
Sorry, Monique, we're still friends, aren't we?
And, you know, that was my first...
She hasn't answered.
We are. You know, that was my first few minutes of when you started talking, Poppy, and I thought to myself, my God, what have I just let myself in for? And then we did the first exercise, and I thought, well, I can live with this. And then when someone invited me to be part of the constellation, I think... Wasn't I the first one in the circle, I think? And I just thought, oh my God. But the minute it got going, the minute I stood in that centre, suddenly, I mean, as you guys say, my logical brain just left the room. And actually, I felt fine about being there, even though it did actually provoke quite strong emotions straight away. So I would say to anyone who's a bit like you and me, Lisa, and a bit reserved and thinking, I couldn't possibly do that. Actually, once you're in there, you get, and it's quite an enlightening experience. I must admit, I mean, you guys said that when you feel healing, whatever. I felt quite exhausted by the time I left that room, personally.
I was knackered. I fell asleep. I went to put my younger daughter to bed, and I fell asleep on her floor at 8 o'clock. On the floor, I was shattered.
It's like a good homeopathic remedy.
Yes, oh my God, yeah. Totally exhausted.
No, but it is important to say that the healing doesn't happen instantly in that moment in the room, because what we're working here is with the soul, with the individual soul, but we're also working with the family soul of that system. And the soul moves really slowly. So that's why we advise to people not to do, say somebody did a constellation, we recommend that they don't do another constellation for at least 3 months afterwards, because it takes really, does take time for the soul to move. And so we start feeling the changes after constellations, you know, really surreptitiously, slowly, gently, in time. Sometimes we can feel something immediately, but sometimes it takes much longer for it to sort of trickle through the family system. I always think of throwing a pebble into a pond, and then the ripples go all the way out to the side, and then they come back again. And then they go back again even more slowly. And it takes a good while for it all to settle down into a new balance.
Yeah, wise advice. What can I ask you both, as you're both homeopaths, how did you get into family constellations? You know, I can completely see why you'd want to learn more. But yeah, what's both your stories, if you don't mind sharing, how you went from homeopathy to family constellations? I know you both still practice both homeopathy and constellation. So yeah, Nappy, do you want to share first and then Poppy, if you don't mind?
Sure. I once heard about family constellations here where I live in Forest Row, and there was a guy, his name is Dr. Dietrich Klingart. He's quite famous more for detoxification and heavy metal poisoning and all that kind of thing, but he is also a constellations facilitator. And he was doing workshops in our village hall here in Forest Row. And in fact, Hilary Dorian, I said to Hilary, why don't you come with me? So she and I went off to this constellation in the village hall. And wow, my mind was completely blown. There was this huge constellation it was about the Holocaust. And, you know, it was huge, huge. There were so many representatives, and I was one of them. And I was just, my mind was completely blown. And I thought, I have to have more of this. And so I told Poppy all about it. And Poppy, you can tell the story about the camp.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Nafia mentioned, and Hilary mentioned it to me. And I mean, it was a few years later that we went, because my friend Edward was going every month to a group in London and kept saying to me, oh God, I had an amazing time this month. You know, I represented blah, 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 and this happened and da, 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 da. And I was like, oh, I will come, I will come. And every time it was on, there was this group doing this monthly workshop in London. Every single time I couldn't make it for one reason or another. And I think maybe 2 or 3 years passed that I knew about constellations, but still hadn't heard, you know, hadn't been to a workshop, and I just heard about it. So yeah, I was completely separately from constellations. I was in a choir, and I wanted to do this voice camp that was down in Somerset. And again, for several years, I'd wanted to do it, and I hadn't had the money, or I hadn't had the time, or whatever it was. And that year, 2015, I sold my house and I was about to move in the summer. And I was like, oh, I've got money. I can go to this camp. And I looked it up with great excitement, ready to book. And the camp, the voice camp, was exactly the same week that I was moving house. I was like, no, I can't believe it. And there on the same webpage, it said Constellations Camp. I was like, huh? Is it Family Constellations? And so I clicked on the link, and it was Family Constellations, and it was a 5-day camp in Somerset of pure family constellations run by Barbara Morgan. And it was a lot cheaper than the voice camp, and it was the week after I moved. So I told Nafia and Edward and said, you know, shall we go? And they were up for it. So we all signed up and off we went. Nafia came and I drove us, and I literally left my house piled high with boxes. I had moved house like 2 days before, and I was completely wrecked. My health was atrocious. I'd had such stressful few years, and particularly that year, you know, with selling the house and everything, and I was in a real state, and we had to stop at the solicitors on the way to sign some papers or hand over some keys or something. You know, it was literally that close to the move, and we set off down to Somerset and arrived in this field and no one was there, and it was really weird. There was just a few hippies sort of walking around, and we're like, oh, where are we going to be? Are we even in the right place? It was just in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, eventually we found our way into this yurt, and it was full of, there were about 40 people in there, and they were having like a talking circle with a talking stick. And it was, you know, we sort of crashed our way in with our food and our drinks, and not knowing even if we were still in the right place until I spotted Edward. We're like, oh, phew. And anyway, we stayed there for the 5 days and did constellations pretty much every day. Well, every day, sometimes all day in those days. And in the evenings, we camped around campfires in circles of sort of 10 or 15 people cooking on the fire. And there was no mobile phones, no electronics, no drugs or alcohol. And you know, that we just went straight into the work, and we were blown away. Nafia and I were completely blown away. And my health, which was so bad, was, I mean, I can only, it's a long story, but, you know, within about 2 days of doing the constellations, and I didn't do my own at that point, I was completely restored. Like, it was unbelievable. I'd never, and the first constellation, a bit like Nafia's experience in the holding circle, I was all over the place. I was sort of laughing hysterically and crying hysterically, and I didn't know what was going on, you know. But there were people on that camp who had done Barbara's training, or who had done it the year before. And, you know, they were telling me, you know, it's this field and blah, 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 and all these things we've just spoken about. And at the end, we were sort of driving around Somerset trying to find our way home, completely in a different dimension, basically, having spent a week camping and living off, you know, in this really natural way, which is very complementary to the work, incidentally, because it's like you have that community and you build that trust, and these people who you might have been bawling your eyes out on their shoulder, you know, you don't just then go home and forget about them. It's like you actually build some kind of beautiful relationship with them and a heart connection. And driving around lost in Somerset, and Nafia just said, well, I think we're gonna have to do the training. And I was like, what training? And she said, you know, Barbara's training, the one that all those people had just done. I was like, oh, I missed that. And so I think 3 weeks later we signed up and we joined the training, and we did the first facilitator training, which was about 18 months. There was like 8 5-day modules every couple of months, which were full immersion again down in Somerset. And then we completed that and we started to facilitate, and then we got invited back as apprentices on the next training, which meant that we got a little bit of extra supervision with Barbara, and we were part of the sort of holding team. And then so we did that again. I think that time it was 10 modules maybe, and then we did it again the third time. And then it's now just Barbara's training's just started again last month, and I'm working as her assistant trainer. And so, it was the beginning of an interesting adventure for us. And we did that, all of that together, which was great, because Nafia and I also trained as homeopaths together like 20 years
ago. Oh, did you train together at the same time?
That's how we know each other, yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it was like a continued journey for us. It was great learning together like that, we worked together as well as homeopaths. We used to run workshops together, homeopathy workshops together. We trained together, and then we went on this journey together. So it was great. It was really wonderful.
Do you see any connection between homeopathy and the constellation work?
Yeah, definitely loads of connections. I mean, it's working with the field, which is part of homeopathy, and also, like what I said at the camp to someone who was a homeopath who turned up at the camp this last summer. So that, by the way, that camp happens every summer in August in Somerset. And there's also one in Norfolk, and there's also one in Ireland. And a homeopath turned up, and I said to, I think that, and I think I said it to you as well, Lisa, that it's like a progression of Hahnemann's work on miasm, because it's looking at the ancestral sort of inherited trauma, basically, which is what miasmatic theory is on the energetic side, on the side of homeopathy as an energy medicine. And also that the constellation itself is like a remedy. So it's like you take the remedy, it's a really deep acting remedy, and then it's what happens next, like Nafi was saying about the ripples and so on. You know, I don't know if you thought of any other parallels, Nafia, with homeopathy.
No, just, you know, like as the remedy stimulates the body to become back into balance, so the constellation can stimulate the family system to start coming into balance. And as an example of that, my very own first, the very first constellation of my own that I did, you know, 7 years ago, afterwards, I wouldn't say that anything changed for me personally, but after a few months, it became obvious that something has really changed for my brother and my younger brother. And that, in turn, had a really beneficial effect on me, because I'm the eldest and I was, you know, very worried and anxious about my brother for years and years. And the fact that his life shifted into a much better pattern, you know, really impacted everyone else in the family in a really positive way. And so the constellation was yeah, that remedy that started the system balancing better.
I can see that. What I wanted to ask as well, actually, was, Poppy, you were saying that your health improved. You know, what can family constellation help with? Because it sounds very much, you know, like it's to do with intergenerational trauma. But actually, you were saying, I mean, we know as holistic practitioners, right, it's all connected. But just for people that perhaps, you know, haven't necessarily gone down that route to that extent, you know, what type of issues can family constellations help with? So Poppy, it helped with your health. You've mentioned about miasms and the generational trauma. It can help with,
in the same way that homeopathy is holistic, in that sense that, you know, it's not going to be like, it can help with these health issues or those health issues. It can help with all health issues. Can also help with, and Nafia does health constellations for health, and there are other practitioners as well. In fact, really well-known international facilitator called Stefan Hausner, who's written a book called Even If It Costs Me My Life. He's known for doing health constellations, and he's actually coming to the UK in January to do a two-day workshop. And then anything really. So it could be health, it could be relationships, like romantic relationships or relationships with your children or between siblings. Like my first constellation was about my brother, although the impact was felt in my children, it changed their relationship. It could be romantic relationships, like not flourishing or having relationship problems. It could be money issues, any kind of money issues. It could be work issues. It could be literally anything, any area of your life where you don't feel that you're thriving or satisfying your desires or your longings in life. Wherever there's like a longing, it's because there's some entanglement with an ancestor that's stopping the thing from coming to fruition. I mean, once you've got something, it's no longer a longing. So, or a desire, you know, a desire is it's a longing for something that you don't have. So when you go back and you look at the ancestral blockages and the things that might be stopping the flow of life and love down to you, if you can put them to rest or at least create a little peace, then you're more likely to be able to go towards your desire.
Do you even have to have an issue like as such? You know, could you just go, things you might think that life is going along pretty tickety-boo, but you're intrigued or curious, could you still
go along? You don't have to have an issue. You might find that life isn't as perfect as you thought, but you know, that usually some people have some area of their life where they, or they may just want to shed a light on something that they're curious about or find something out, you know, because you can use it that way.
Poppy, there might be some people out there who've got an issue and they think, well, I just can't air that in front of a group. Can you do family constellation sort of just with a practitioner and a,
yeah.
How does that work?
So I see people quite regularly. You can either just do as a one-off constellation, or some people, like I, work over a period of weeks. So I might do like a 6-week block where we look at an issue, and we might do a constellation or we might not. We might just focus on the body, because a lot of people live their lives in a disembodied way where they're just in their heads all the time, and then their anxiety can sort of take over, or their procrastination or whatever it is that goes on in their heads, because we live in a sort of head-driven society. Mm. And so just to help people get into their bodies can make their lives easier. But also you can do constellations using like Playmobil people, and you set them up on the table and you can touch them, or you can say healing sentences as one of those Playmobil people. Or you can use floor markers, like it might just be a bit of sheet paper, you can do it anywhere. Or like I use squares of different coloured felt, and you can have people set up these markers around the room, and then they can go and stand on them to see as a representative for whoever it is. And I, as the practitioner, might also step in as a representative, particularly if there's like sentences, if I want them to say healing sentences, or if there's a healing sentence coming that would be useful for them to say to a representative, then I might step in as that representative so that they can say them. And then I can feedback on how it felt and so on, and get information that way.
That's interesting that you can do it just like one-on-one. So I'm sure that might give people some courage, perhaps.
Yeah, it's really great for people who don't want to do a big group thing as their first experience, you know, but I always try and encourage them to get to the group, because it's just that one step, that one courageous step. And for me, it was revolutionary, you know. And it's, yes, the individual work's really powerful as well.
Yeah, I would echo that, just because I remember, again, asking Nafia, can we do it one-on-one? Does it have to go to a group? But now, when I came away from the group work, like, I'm sure it is amazing doing it one-on-one as well, but I came away from that group work just thinking, thank God I did that. You know, I couldn't imagine it any other way, having done that. So I'm so glad. Mm-hmm. And just one other thing, you said you did these, you know, five-day workshops. And so where you've said you mustn't do a constellation for a few months, presumably you can still go as in the group or as a representative, but just not to volunteer again. Because I can see how these could be quite addictive. People might want to go regularly. Is it just that you shouldn't have your constellation read again for?
Well, there's no shoulds. It's an interesting field. If you feel your hand going up again, like a week after you've done one constellation, it's a question of what's going on with you that you're stepping over the constellation you just did. So that last constellation that you just did is still working, or have you decided that it wasn't good enough, or it didn't really mean anything, or what, you know, what's your relationship to that constellation? As a facilitator, I would probably set up a representative for your constellation, the last one you did, and see what's your relationship to it. And, you know, are you turning away from it, or has it finished? And it just says, no, I don't really feel I'm needed here, goes and sits down. And so it's sort of reading as a facilitator, is it okay, you know, are you stepping over it if you just do another constellation? It's like a bit like taking remedies, homeopathic remedies.
Yeah.
You know, your homeopath has given you a really well selected remedy and you bloody paid them to do it, and then you're going to go home and take loads of different remedies and say, oh well, you know, they don't really understand me, and this carcinosin is much better for me, or whatever it is. And yeah, so it's not a should, but it's the observation is, but
you,
I mean,
could go
three
and,
months,
you could go, two, you could yeah. go and be a participant still.
Yeah, I mean, you have, yeah. And if you're training, you have to do that, you know.
Yeah. No, that that makes sense, definitely. I mean from a personal perspective, I definitely think things feel very nice being left for a while, working away in the background, doing what it needs to do. So I definitely understand what you've both said. I'm really conscious of time. So, and there's so much I still want to ask. And Monique, I don't know if you've got questions that we haven't asked and you feel we should cover, or if Nafi and Poppy have areas that actually really want to talk about that we haven't yet. So, Monique, is there questions that you feel we should ask that we haven't?
I think we've covered a lot, and I think some really good stuff has come out of this. And I think, given the time, maybe the only question I would ask is, are there some scenarios that this is better for than others? I don't know, Natsu, if you've got a view on that.
How do you mean exactly?
So if someone was thinking, I don't know if family constellation is right for what I want, what would you say in terms of what kinds of things should they bring? Is there something that, works really, really well? Because you've talked about there being health constellations, you've talked about the ancestral trauma, you've talked about desires. So how would someone think, I've got an issue, and do I take it to family constellations, or is there a different therapy that's better for me? How might someone make that choice?
I would say that, any issue is welcome. Sometimes the facilitator can actually work with the client in the moment to drill a bit deeper, perhaps to get to, the real heart of the matter. It's again, to use homeopathy as an example, sometimes the client comes with a presenting complaint, and in the course of the treatment, we discover there are much deeper patterns lying underneath. So, in some ways, it doesn't actually matter too much what the client says as the issue, because as we do the constellation, things unfold because the field reveals it.
Okay, so the answer is no, just bring it to the, just whatever it is, bring it to the constellation.
Yeah,
great, thank
anything
you.
Welcome. Yeah,
I want to put, but I want to ask you actually, both of you, about what workshops you've got coming up, and I'll put a link in the show notes, but can I just want to ask one more quick question, if that's all right, that we haven't covered, because I've talked a little bit about Another Self, the Netflix series. How accurate is that? Like, is that a good thing for people to watch? What's your view on, should they watch it or not? And Poppy's mouthing yes. So yes, Poppy, say.
Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. I'm just watching it for a second time. I indulged this week, and it's fantastic. It's a drama. If anyone, I don't know if you've mentioned it in your other podcast, but it's
I've put it in Instagram and I'll let on Facebook.
Okay,
not on. Yeah.
No, it's an 8-part TV, Netflix TV series, basically about three women, female friends in Turkey, and each episode, each of the 8 episodes is a different character in the TV series is constellation, so they go and have a constellation. So it's fiction, but it's a really good way of seeing how constellations work. It's very faithful to Hellinger's vision of constellations. I think it's absolutely brilliant. I highly recommend it. It's really well produced.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah. Actually, my husband watched
with subtitles. Just don't watch the dubbed version.
Oh no, we watched it with subtitles.
Netflix, awful dubbing, but the Turkish is beautiful. The language is beautiful.
Yeah.
And it really helps with the characters, like the nuances of who they are. Like Layla, her voice is just fantastic.
Oh yeah.
She's such a great character. I love her.
Nafi, have you watched it? Do you like?
I have. It was very, very enjoyable.
Good. So, okay, double recommendations. And so, you agree as well, Nafi, that it does highlight family constellations as well.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Monique, you need to watch it.
I haven't got around to that yet. No.
Okay, so both of you, where can people find out more about both of you, and have you got workshops coming up? So yeah, can you share? Poppy, do you want to go first?
Okay, sure. I've got a workshop. My next workshop is on the 26th of November in Kingston upon Thames. And you can find out about that on Eventbrite. I think if you just look up my name on Eventbrite, Poppy.
I'll put a link as well, so if people are listening, I can link to just look in the show notes.
That's part of a series, but I mean, you can come at any point. It's not like a consecutive series. So I did one workshop in September, I've got one in November, then I've got one January the 14th, I think it is, and March the 11th. They're all coming up, and you can find out on Eventbrite. So those are one-day workshops in Kingston, open to anybody. And then also I've got a Facebook page, Poppy Altman Family Constellations and Homeopathy. I have got a website, but it's atrociously embarrassing. It's just my name. And what other? Oh, yeah. And there's Stefan Hausner's workshop coming up January the 25th and 6th, I think it is, in Bristol. Yeah, and then there's Constellations Camp in Ireland over the summer solstice. And you can just, again, on Facebook, Constellations Camp Ireland. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Unicorn Family Constellations Camp in August, in the middle of August. And there's also one in Norfolk at the beginning of July. So I think Google.
There's no excuse not to get on one of those. Thank you for that. And Nafia, Poppy, had you finished?
No, that's it.
Others. Thank you. Nafia, how can people get in touch with you? So you're in Forest Row, aren't you?
Yes, I'm in Forest Row. And so in Forest Row, I think we mentioned earlier, I specialize in health constellations. And that means the sort of entry point is a health condition or a health problem or health issue. But basically, it then uses the mechanism of family constellations to look at, you know, how that came about. So I also do quite a lot of individual constellations as well as groups. There is, the next group is on Saturday, the 12th of November. Mm-hmm. And I have a Facebook group, a Facebook page, Rejani Homeopathy and Family Constellations.
Thank you for that. I'll link to that as well. So we've got, London. Poppy, you said yours are in London, Kingston.
Oh, yeah, they're in Kingston upon Thames. And actually, I do individual sessions in Richmond upon Thames at practice rooms in Richmond, yeah.
Okay, so we've got the South.
And you can just email me for information as well.
Do you both practice online by Zoom or is it only in person?
I don't anymore, basically.
In person.
Yeah, I don't.
I can see how it's better. Person,
it's fine. So. It works really well online. I just prefer to be able to see people in real life.
Yeah, no, I get that. Get that completely. Is there anything else that we haven't covered? I mean, we could chat for days. There's so much to cover, but anything like really where you think actually we haven't asked something or there's some really vital information we've missed out that should be shared?
Yeah, I just wanted to go back to Monique, something that you asked earlier. You were saying about the family courts in, where was it, Poppy? Brazil. Wherever. Brazil. And so constellations are also used in all sorts of different contexts. So one context, for example, is environmental work. Then it is also used in businesses. So there's a big field of organizational constellations, and some facilitators specialize in it. And in Germany in particular, a lot of huge companies use constellations, you know, systemic work constellations to set business issues and, you know, conflicts within the company or challenges that the company is facing, and including big, big, big names. And I can't now remember which one it was, but one of the major motor manufacturers, either Mercedes-Benz or BMW, I can't remember, one of the two, they use it in their organization. And, you know, there's a really huge companies that use this. So tapping into the intelligence of the field to, you know, increase their profits. So that's quite interesting.
I suppose I just sort of want to mention also that's just made me think about the orders. Like, we didn't really talk about the sort of key philosophies behind constellations, and you can find out more, you know, I think I might mention it on my website or somewhere. But just to say that there is this idea of, which comes from the Zulu people, of the orders. So it's that everything has an order, that and that often when people are missing from the family, the order gets disrupted. So if there's a child who's stillborn or given away and people don't know about that, then you might not know the actual order of the siblings in the family, for example. And constellations works to sort of restore that order. So it may mean re-including someone who's missing and then acknowledging the actual order of the siblings, so that the first is the first, the second is the second, the third is the third, and so on. Because people can not thrive in life when they are in a position where they don't realize they're in the right, they're in the wrong position. And then the other aspect of that was that everything belongs. So everyone belongs. So if there are children who died tragically or early or were given away, etc., then we re-include them, and that helps to rebalance the family system.
That's a really interesting and powerful piece of information. So thank you for including that at the end. And so there is stuff on your website. I know you didn't necessarily want to refer people to it, but there is some, because there's not actually an awful lot. Well, I might be not looking in the right place, but when I did Google or go on the internet to try and find out about family constellations, there is stuff out there, but not loads, you know, not like if you homeopathy, like masses come up. I found perhaps there was, maybe, you know, is there a good sort of general resource where people should go?
I would really recommend Barbara Morgan's first book, which is a really easy read, and it's available from cominghome.org.uk or from Amazon if you want.
Yes, and I've actually got a couple of copies for sale if somebody wants one for me.
Yay!
I do, you know what, my ever-growing pile of book collection, but I'm fascinated to read more. What's the name of the actual title?
Coming Home, A First Step into the World of Family Constellations, I think.
Excellent.
I'll
put a link down that below it as well, so people can look that up.
Yeah, and it's just a really easy book to read and give you some background on the theory.
No, that's brilliant. Oh, thank you so much, both of you. I really appreciate, I say both of you and Monique as well, for doing this with me. It's been really lovely to have you share your experience as well, Monique. So thank you. Thank you, everyone,
thank you so much
for coming on.
Thanks, Monique.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's been great to spend time with you.
Thank you so much. Bye.